Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for our OC Spotlight, the one show, the only show that shines a light on the most amazing people doing the most incredible things right here in our backyard. And today, well, it's right in our neighborhood here. We're talking about Comic-Con Revolution that's coming to the Ontario Convention Center. And the man behind this crazy thing, Drew Selden. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's happening? Thank you for having me.
We were comparing notes earlier in the day. We both started off years ago doing entertainment PR. He represented a whole bunch of big folks, Maury Povich, Judge Judy, all sorts of stuff. How did you go from that into Comic-Con Revolution?
Come on, it's a natural progression. Actually, the funny thing is that I was doing public relations work. I was doing a lot of daytime TV PR. And it gets exhausting, and you look for a change, and I've always been a fan of comics and stuff like that. And I saw an opening at a company called Wizard Entertainment. They were looking for a director of communications, and I jumped into that, and I really got a taste for it, and it became just a really fun world to exist in. And, you know, that was 15 years ago, and then from there, you know, you move to one thing, and then 5 years ago, we got together, me and my partners, James and Mike, and we launched Comic-Con Revolution. And you know, in Ontario, we took the Inland Empire, and they've been great to us, and we try to be great to them. And year in, year out, we just love coming back.
There you go. And have you taken this other places, too? Does this go on the road, or is this a one-stop shop for this here?
We've done Comic-Con Revolutions in Florida. We've done them in Chicago. But with everything that happened between March of 2020 and, you know,
sure,
until recently, it became just difficult to even continue to exist. So we contracted and really kind of put all our eggs into the Inland Empire basket. And we're very happy to, you know, again, be back for our fifth year and just looking to build a bigger and better show, you know, in the Inland Empire.
So walk us through what happens at a Comic-Con. I've never been to the big one, the original one down in San Diego. That's the granddaddy of all these, right? That's the first and biggest one?
That is the football analogy. That is the Rose Bowl. That is the granddaddy of them all.
And then out of that other one split off, and are you affiliated with that, or is it just something similar to that?
No. It's just a different variation. I mean, they are obviously the Super Bowl,
right,
the national championship game, and we're, you know, we're the Outback Bowl.
Okay,
a lot of fun
I like
to be
that.
Part of. Yeah, we're a lot of fun to be part of. It's a I mean, what happens? So it's a two-day event, Saturday, May 21st, and Sunday, May 22nd. We're at the Ontario Convention Center. The doors open up for people who have advanced tickets, and you can get those online at ComicConRevolution.com.
Good.
The doors open up at 9 for them, and anybody who wants to walk up to buy tickets will walk up, and that opens at 10. And what happens at a Comic-Con? Well, we have a show floor full of exhibitors who are, you know, selling old comics, new comics, different collectibles, Funko Pops, toys, T-shirts, posters, you know, anything you can think of that's genre, pop culture related, you'll find on the show floor. And then there's an area called Artist Alley where you have your, you know, people who are trying to get their work out, showing off their work and their drawings and their artistic skills. And you've also got established artists who have been making comics for years in there. And then you've got the really big names like our Chris Claremont or Jerry Conway, who's coming. And these guys are major names at Marvel. They've worked on the X-Men and, you know, Spider-Man and just like these things for years. So there's all that. And then there's a celebrity element. We've got Star Trek cast members coming. We got Denise Crosby and Robert Picardo. We've got Ryan Hurst, who was Sons of Anarchy in The Walking Dead. We've got Daniel Logan, who was Boba Fett in The Attack of the Clones and The Clone Wars. And then there's a whole wrestling element to it. We've got from the AEW, Sammy Guevara and Tay Conte coming. We've got the Billy Gunn and the Outlaws coming from WWE. So like I said, there's really kind of that something for everyone. In addition to the autographs and the shopping, we have full days of programming to learn about how to make comics, how to get involved in cosplay, you know, the history of a certain character, how it was developed, you know, if There'll be wrestling panels.
A total geek fest for everybody who geeks out on this stuff, me included. I hate to admit it here. I love all this stuff that you're saying.
Listen, don't, man. Being a geek is the new cool thing.
Well,
what we were talking about earlier with the Marvel movies. They've made superheroes just the coolest thing around.
So I got to give everybody a little disclaimer, a little disclosure here. I'm in my 60s here. When I was a kid, I collected original Marvel comics. They were the coolest, and I still have them in a box somewhere. I don't know what they're worth, but I have a whole box of probably 50 of them
if you want to get them appraised, this would be the place to do it.
I may do that. I may bring them. I was mostly into Thor comics, but that's what I collected when I was like a little kid. All right, so then I cut to the 80s when I was similarly an entertainment publicist, and I got to meet the great Stan Lee, who nobody else but me thought this was so great to meet him in the 80s here. What was the big deal? And so I met him, and I did some work for him, and this is when Marvel, he had moved out to L.A. trying to get Marvel comics turned into movies. They were struggling to get Spider-Man made, went through a whole bunch of litigation and studio changes and stuff. And nobody, this is before they had computers, so nobody thought they could do this and not make it look ridiculous. So we couldn't get anybody to talk to Stan Lee, if you can believe it. And I'm the only one running around to my bosses saying, this is going to be big. And they're like, oh, get out of here. Nobody's going to make a comic book movie. And I still have a couple little postcards they sent me at Christmas and everything here. Hand drew, you know, Hey Paul and stuff on it. And anyway, I left. He left. The whole thing went into a spiral. And several owners later, all of a sudden, the more Marvel Universe was created. There was a time when that was thought as a ridiculous thing. Now it's everybody, including my grandson now, who just adores all this stuff. So it's really come full circle from forgotten to now it's front and center, right?
Yeah, if you think about what, you know, Kevin Feige and they built with the Marvel Universe in 2008, you know, you're talking about an interconnected universe they built through movies, which, you know, for the most part, nobody's really ever seen before.
No. And where one movie connects to the next, and then they're all connected to other movies, it is a universe of characters and storylines that all converge. And if I'm not mistaken, Kevin was just like a production assistant when he started with this whole thing. He was another one that was with a vision, and everybody's saying, no, it's not going to get that big. We'll make a couple of movies maybe, but that's it.
Well, they focused on casting, which, you know, is important. And if you are going to appeal to the comic fan and, you know, really gear, hey, listen, we're going to make a great movie for them. And if they approve and it's a great movie, then the outskirts are going to love it as well. And that's why these became so big. You know, they worked really hard to get the casting right and the vision that they had. There was no arguments at all. I don't think this guy is going to be as good at it.
And they locked them up for several movies, and then they would they had a strategy of how over a couple of years they're going to roll out the individual movies leading up to the combined, super where they all come together movies here.
Yeah, the Avengers. I mean, it was unbelievable. We had never seen anything like that where it worked so well.
Yeah. And to their credit, because when I was a kid, Marvel was the renegade comics, everybody was reading DC comics, and DC's never quite figured it out to that same level. They've tried, but never with the success that Marvel's had. I can't count how many Marvel movies have been out, 20, 30 more of them here over the last, you know, decade or so here.
Yeah, I mean, since it started, they're definitely over 20.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's crazy.
What, and have we ever seen that in the history of the movie business? I mean, usually you make, like Star Trek. I was a big Star Trek fan, too. Got to meet William Shatner way back when. In fact, we just interviewed him just recently in one of our other shows on our e-bike show. He's 90, and he's still riding e-bikes. So that was a cool thing to have William Shatner, the original Captain Kirk, on one of our shows here. And I recognize all those other names, Denise Crosby, and she was with The Next Generation, I think. And then Robert Picardo was with Star Trek Voyager. He was the Doctor, I think. And so, you got me at all of that stuff here. But even the Star Trek movies, they've only made, I don't know, they made three or four, or half a dozen, I think, with the original cast, and then three or four with The Next Generation, you know, and then they've tried to reboot it, had a couple of the movies. Not nearly like Marvel. They haven't. That's another world that people live in. The conventions are what kept that show alive and brought it back from when I was a kid.
Absolutely. And again, those were all same characters doing different adventures.
Yeah.
You know, this is different characters in different places doing different things, which they then interwove, and that was, there's been nothing like that ever. You know, and I don't think there ever will be again.
I don't think so. So do people, I'm assuming, like you say, whatever you call it now, call it cosplay or co-play or something here where people dress up and, yeah.
No, people love cosplay, and we actually have a big, our Cosplay Revolution contest is Saturday evening with a $500 grand prize for Best in Show. And then on Sunday, we have one specially geared for kids. There's all sorts of different prizes for them, so they don't have to compete against the adults. But the amount of love and energy and effort that people put into these costumes is extraordinary.
Yeah,
and they don't do it for anything other than the love of what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then they it's sort of like Civil War reenactors who all dress up, and I was a kid into history and stuff, or, you know, World War II reenactors and stuff. They live it. They don't just remember it and read it. They live these storylines out, and they become part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, first part of fanatic is fan.
Yeah.
Whether it's this
I like that.
Else.
So I qualify. I guess I've been called a fanatic, a comic book fanatic way back when, and I was certainly, you know, could see the potential, but unfortunately I didn't last long enough with that various versions that went through here. So
the thing is that you don't need to be a full fanatic to enjoy a Comic-Con.
That's what I'm wondering,
That's the great evolution of them, so... Even if you're not, it's just a fun time. And also, it's a family-friendly event. We do kids 12 and under for free. You know, try and make it somewhat reasonable. And like I said, you don't really have to have the love that you and I are talking about to really enjoy it.
So I'm going to bring now I'm in my 60s, I'm going to bring my 8-year-old grandson with me here. And you're saying he gets in for free. Hooray. What about all the stuff he's in? Because he loves all the Marvel universe. I haven't really convinced him to dive into the Star Trek universe here yet, or even the Star Wars universe. These are all kind of three worlds that, you know, have their own storylines and multiple movies and characters and everything. But he loves all these new emerging ones that I just struggle to keep up with. You said Funko Pop. He loves all this Five Nights at Freddy's and all these other things. Oh, my God. He's nuts about all these things that you only see on... line. I guess they're going to come out with some movies soon for Five Nights at Freddy's and some of these other things.
Yeah, they've been working on them. Absolutely.
What about that? Is he going to see that world there too?
Absolutely. You know, he'll definitely see, hopefully he'll see some people in costume and he'll lose it and be over.
Oh, he'd lose it if you saw anybody in Five Nights at Freddy's. Go look that up if you don't know what that is. It's a whole other emerging world that these kids are crazy about here. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the cosplay, again, it's just off the charts. What people do is just remarkable, and it's the greatest place in the world that people watch.
So don't feel bad if you're like me. You got a closet full of comic books and a childlike still fascination for these characters. And as cool and as old as Grandpa is, he still geeks out when he talks to Star Trek people and all that. So there is a place for us, huh? It's okay. We don't need therapy anymore. We can just go out and admit who we are.
Listen, the people who aren't admitting it are the ones who need therapy. This is a healthy, great place. You know, it's fantasy. I mean, you look at all these universes. You know, in the end, they all try and, you know, teach right from wrong and help your fellow man. You know, and listen, what's wrong with those as values, right?
It really is. It really was. And what what made Marvel stand out was that the characters weren't cardboard. They weren't just, I'm sorry, Superman, you know, was pretty hard for us to relate to. But, you know, Peter Parker had his own problems. He couldn't get a girl. He's out saving the world, but he could never get a girl.
Listen, it's tough being a teenage kid in the city.
I guess so. All right, so were you a fan growing up? You're a few years younger than I am, I'm assuming here. Were you, did you were into comic books, or did you just discover this and thought, I'm gonna help bring this to light?
Not so much specifically comic books, but I was always into the genre. Famous little Drew Sheldon family story, my first word ever, Batman. When I was growing up, my crib was in my parents' bedroom,
right,
in a small apartment, and every day at 4 o'clock, my brother would watch the Adam West Batman show.
Yeah.
And so for the first 9 months, 10 months of my life, I consistently heard that after the da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, the word Batman comes. And my dad was doing it, you know, with my brother, and they were playing, and all of a sudden, I just yelled it out, and my parents were just like, there is no way that just happened. So I was kind of destined to be going down this path.
Well, full disclosure, my first client in PR was Adam West. So there you go. I knew Adam very well in the day, back in the day here. Really cool, funny guy, yeah.
He loved it as well. He loved being in this world.
Yeah, he really did. The amazing fact is everybody assumed he became rich off of it, and he didn't, because that's what they, the Screen Actors Guild, quick story for all you comic book fans here, they had a new residual rule that was going to take place where people were going to get paid for past episodes. Prior to that, they didn't get paid for past episodes. And so the studios, in their wisdom, knowing they were going to have to pay all these, they just canceled Daniel Boone and Batman and a whole bunch of other very popular shows, just because they knew that they were going to go into syndication, and that way they didn't have to pay him. So he never got a nickel in syndication from any of those shows. He did make money off of appearances and other things later, and trust me, he had made a bunch of money and invested it well, so he lived well, a good life. But everybody assumes that paid a fortune. It did not for poor Adam.
None of them prior to really, you know, them getting the residual rights and everything in place.
Shatner lived, as he talks about all the time, lived in his truck after Star Trek. He thought it was over, the world. And, you know, everything fell apart for him. And then they found the conventions and all this other stuff and the revival of the movies. And who knew that this was all going to come back? Because there was a time when comics were not cool. And everybody thought, you know, oh, forget it. This is kind of fringe entertainment here, but now it's front and center. It really is. Whether you're 8 or 80, it's certainly a part of our culture here in a huge way that I don't think anybody really. Stan Lee never envisioned. None of these guys ever envisioned.
Anybody could have envisioned what it's become.
Well, it's. I'm assuming it's a big deal. It's 2 days. It's the Ontario Convention Center, May 21, 22. I assume it goes like all day or something, what, from 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 or something here?
We go till 6
okay.
On Saturday and 5 on Sunday.
Okay. And so there's a convention I can go buy, I can go trade, I can get collectibles, all the stuff that people have, the character. People just pay a fortune for these things. My grandson's already 8, and he's like, no, Grandpa, don't take that out of the package. I'm going to save that. It's more about... He knows this. I'm like, I just took them out and smashed their heads off when I was 8, but you know, or whatever, I threw them around the room. But now he's like, he's got the collectible mindset already here.
Listen, kids today are a zillion times enlightened and smarter than we ever could have been. So.
Oh, yeah. I wish I'd saved more of this stuff. I don't know why I saved the comic books, because they just were so precious to me. My parents always threatened to throw them out. And I'm like, don't throw them out. And then I finally took them with me here, and I have them, you know, secretly stored away somewhere. I don't know if they're worth anything anymore here, but I suspect that, you know, this paraphernalia, there's just going to be a flood of this stuff out there that we can see and buy at this place here. And then a chance to actually see people living the life, acting it out. And you say some seminars and stuff where we can meet actually some of the celebrities who participated in some of these worlds. How cool.
Yeah, it's a blast. And again, it's all family-friendly stuff. We try and keep it that way because my partners and I are family guys. And, you know, you want to know. Actually, and you know what? You'll also, your grandson, upstairs at the convention center, we're going to have a whole laser tag arena.
Oh, another whole thing he's crazy about.
It's an individual price for games with this one, an all-day pass. I think it's, you know, maybe $5 or $10 or something like that, and they can keep going up and having a ball. You know, again, there's just a ton of stuff to do, and if you're not sure, you go to ComicConRevolution.com. It's all listed, everything that's going to be going on and how it all works. It's all right there on the site.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it's just a real fun time.
Well, I'm looking at some of the pictures on the site right now here of some of the people who've been involved in comics showing it. How come they all got a big smile on their face here? I mean, is that what comics do? Yeah. It's just a chance
to be a kid
here again? Yeah, everybody's happy.
It's a happy world. You know, the good guys, 99% of the time, are going to win.
Yeah.
So everyone's happy.
And if they don't wait till the next episode, because they will in the next comic or something here.
They'll rally. They're good like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that's what I say. We're fighting for for truth and justice in the American way. That's what I always tell my grandson when we wrestle and everything here. He has no idea where that comes from here, but that's what I'm fighting for. Truth and justice in the American way, as Superman once said when I was a little kid. All right, so cool to have you back again. I'm happy that you're back again. And I take it this has been going on for a while. You've had a number of these before, so...
Yes, this is year 5. We launched the first one in May of 2017.
All right. Well, I hope I get a chance to shake your hand because you're doing a good thing here. And
Me too. I'd love to meet the grandson as well.
I'd love to meet you. We're going to look to all that and more. Comic-Con Revolution coming back, folks, to Ontario Convention Center. Coming up right around the corner here, May 21 and May 22. Go to Comic-Con Revolution, just like it sounds, .com. You can buy tickets, you can learn more. Any place else they can get tickets, or just through there?
That's the best place to go, because all the info is right there.
All right, well, thanks so much for sharing the info with us here, and we look forward to seeing you. Yeah, we look forward to seeing you here at the upcoming Comic-Con.
Sounds great.
Well, there you have it, folks. One more reason to tune in each and every time to our OC Spotlight as we shine a light on some of the most incredible events and incredible things going on right here in our backyard, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine, Beale Applied Innovation Center.